The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, America is still dealing with the fallout from the attempted assassination of President Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday night. I'm joined by White House reporter for Reuters, Bo Erickson, who was there, and also former Republican Congressman Joe Walsh. I'll come to Joe in just a moment. But Bo, I'd like to speak to you about your experience. You were pretty close to where President Trump was sitting. Is that right?
Yes, my colleagues and I at Reuters were at the first table right next to President Trump's head table with him, the first lady, the vice president, and some other reporters. And so we got quite rushed by all the security services coming towards the president and also a lot of the top U.S. officials who were sitting around us who they were trying to secure.
We had Mike Rogers here in the studio, the former director of the National Security Agency. He was describing the hotel to us. He was describing what happened. And he says that the security services dealt with it quite well and that it was textbook in a way. Did it feel like that on the night?
It did not feel like that on the night, to be honest with you. The suspect did make his way quite far into the hotel. While he did not make his way all the way into this grand ballroom where there are about 3,000 people and a lot of top administration officials, there is an uneasiness from a lot of people there that he made it so far in. Where this incident took place was just kind of like one level up, just a small walk up the stairs from where the entrance was. And there was just a lot of pandemonium at the event right after it happened. And thank God no one else was injured.
Mm-hmm. Does it make you concerned now about covering the president? Do you feel more vulnerable than you have done before?
This is always a risk of going to these events. Usually I feel pretty safe, and I did feel safe at the event on Saturday night before this all happened. Hopefully this is a rarity, but of course, from all the individuals in the room who have had, you know, these experiences happen to them over and over again, there is more concern growing.
Mm-hmm. And you were at the press conference afterwards with Donald Trump, weren't you?
Yes, it was kind of like what was on display for the whole dinner. There was dozens and dozens of White House reporters riding bikes, running about a mile and a half down to the White House. The whole city was shut down, the center part of the city near the White House, because there was still this, you know, ongoing threat. We didn't know what was going on. So everyone sprinted to the White House to hear from the president directly. And that was good to hear from the president. Mm-hmm. To try to get some information right away.
Doesn't seem to shake him up, these types of events, do they?
It was interesting hearing his tone right there in the night. I think that was kind of the surreal part. You know, I was sitting right there in the front row and he was kind of taking it in stride almost. This, of course, is the third attempt on his life. You know, if we're going to find out more about the motivations of the suspect on Saturday, but from everything that we've reported, he was trying to target top Trump administration officials, including the president. And the president was on one hand, like, kind of nonchalant about this. He was saying, well, these things happen and presidents who are effective are assassinated. And one thing that was very notable, too, is that President Trump kind of rose to this moment and was calling on people to resolve their political differences peacefully.
Didn't he say that if his ballroom was ready and in place, that it would be a much safer venue for this type of event?
Yes, there is the other side of this as well. President Trump and his top Republican allies now are, you know, kind of seizing on this moment to urge some type of more support for this ballroom that is being being constructed from the president in the East Wing now. The president is using this example to say, like, this would never happen in that type of ballroom. And, of course, the White House grounds is the safest place, probably one of the safest places on earth. But even President Trump grapples with that and says, you know, you can't always be thinking about these horrible incidents because you have to go on with your life, and he has to go on with his agenda. He can't himself just stay at the White House the whole time.
And the White House Correspondents' Dinner will happen again. President Trump wants it to happen within the next 30 days. Any news on that? And will you go?
I will go if something else is held. Now, I think logistically, this is a huge dinner, so I don't know how feasible that is going to be. But I do think these events are important. They do get a lot of questions about why the press is going to the dinner with top administration officials, no matter if it's Republican or Democratic administration. But it is important to, kind of hold up the First Amendment. And also, show that we know how to converse with these administration officials. And, you know, a lot of these people in the room on Saturday night, these are individuals who take a lot of arrows and tough questions from the press itself. And there was comedy in the room. And I think that's just, a good moment that, kind of people were rallying together after mm-hmm. this horrible incident.
Well, we know that the relationship between the Trump administration and the press is not a good one. I mean, do you think that this event on Saturday night will help build a bridge?
I don't know. That is something that the president was asked in a 60 Minutes interview last night here on U.S. television. And it wasn't a quite clear response. President Trump did, though, kind of strike this like magnanimous tone in this last few days towards the press, crediting with goodwill from the Correspondents Association and the people who represent the press corps there. He obviously, saw the benefit of going to talk to the press after the fact. And he is trying to clear up some of like these crazy online conspiracies that have popped up in the aftermath,
mm-hmm. which are that it was staged.
And, that is just, things just go like wildfire online, of course. I just ask as a reporter, like if you hear these things, like, try to check it out, go to reliable sources. Our colleagues here at Reuters are looking into all of these questions and, all these allegations, crazy allegations about being staged, those just don't have weight to them right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Bo, thanks very much for joining us. Bo Erickson there, White House reporter for Reuters, who was there on Saturday night. And as I said, Joe Walsh is with us as well, former Republican congressman. Joe, thanks for being with us today. When I saw Erica Kirk, Charlie Kirk's widow, being taken away, escorted from the ballroom on Saturday night, in floods of tears, looking really distressed, I thought about you, and I know that you were quite close at one point to Charlie Kirk, not so much in recent times. But what did you think of the entire scene of what happened?
Claire, good to be with you. I thought, and I posted this yesterday, what happened Saturday night in America, again, was wrong. We have this rise of political violence in this country. It stems from all the hate. So what happened Saturday was wrong, but it also wasn't surprising at all. This is an unbelievably divisive time in America. Politically, we're at each other's throats. So on one hand, it's horrible because political violence is always wrong. But this isn't surprising, and there will probably be more of this.
I was reading a column at the weekend in the London Times by a commentator called Matthew Syed, and he said, he starts off by saying, I'm not a fan of Donald Trump, and I'm not defending him, and I'm not giving him a free pass. But you've got to admit that he is successful in bending the arc of history to his will. He undermines the constitutional norms. He knows exactly how far to go and when to pull back. Do you agree with that, that there is some element of genius to what he is doing?
Oh, God, no. Stop. Donald Trump is an idiot. There's no genius to anything he does. And by the way, Claire, I said it's not surprising that there was probably another attempt on his life. Look, Donald Trump, let's just be real. Donald Trump lives on division. Mm-hmm. He lives on hate and fear and cruelty. He's the most hateful president we've ever had. Every single day, if you went back, if you and I went back every single day for the past 10 to 11 years and just look at the things he's said publicly, the things he posts, he is the most divisive. I mean,
But he wants to. That's by design. So like the uncertainty that he creates around him, he uses to his tactical advantage.
No, I don't think that's part of his design. That's just who he is. He's a bad, horrible person who says bad, horrible things. And oh, by the way, does bad, horrible things. So it's not a surprise, Claire, that there are a lot of people in this country who hate him. Mm-hmm. That's not a surprise at all. It's really wrong when people use that hate to get violence. But the fact that so many Americans hate Donald Trump, that's utterly understandable based on everything he says and does. So Claire, he can't call his enemies terrorist and vermin and the enemy of the people like Donald Trump can do that, but other people can't say that about Trump. No, he's the one who's created to a large degree this really ugly environment we live in.
So you say that what we saw at the weekend is a symptom of what Donald Trump has created, that Donald Trump and MAGA, they want a civil war. Is that how far you're willing to go here?
Well, look, Claire, look at what happened the night that Charlie Kirk was assassinated last fall. Donald Trump and Republicans came out that night before we knew who shot and killed Charlie Kirk, and they accused the entire left in America of killing Charlie Kirk. Yes, my former political party, they do well politically when they can spread hate and divide this country. That's the key to Trump's success. He lives off of hate and fear. I have no doubt that it's part of what Republicans do to succeed.
Mm-hmm. But do you agree that his opponents have continuously underestimated him and the power that he has to tap into the hearts and minds of those who support him in America?
Well, Donald Trump's always been underestimated because of who he is. And Democrats and the left in this country have never understood his appeal to regular Americans. There's no doubt about that. But Claire, he's the most unpopular now in this country he's ever been. Most of his hardcore supporters still support him. But the vast majority of Americans right now, according to all the polling, detest what he's doing. So you and I've talked about this before. If we're going to have free and fair elections, and oh, by the way, Claire, we're talking about a president who right now is trying to attack our elections process. But if we have free and fair elections in November, Republicans will get destroyed politically. That's all because of what Trump's doing. But his hardcore base will always stay with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that is clear. And also, look, what will come to pass will in November, but he will still be president, you know, and there is another, how long have we got now? 2.5 years left of Donald Trump?
Claire, 2.5 years left of this. And again, he's going to be 80 years old in a month. He's a bad guy to begin with. Don't forget, he launched a war that we're still involved in the Middle East. There are a lot of people, Claire, more publicly questioning his cognitive abilities, right? The country didn't do a good enough job of that with Biden. Here we have another 80-year-old president who seems to be losing his mind every day. Look, you and I know one thing. Donald Trump will come out today and post something hateful, cruel, whatever. So when it comes to rhetoric in this country, I don't want to hear any Republican talk about toning down the rhetoric when the chief conveyor of hateful rhetoric is their party leader.
Joe, good to talk to you again. Joe Walsh there, former Republican congressman. Keep the messages coming in. 087 1400 106.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.